This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, October 30th, 2020. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, Labour fights to eliminate nuclear arms. How COVID is affecting African teachers and students. The Labour Start report about union events and singing.
It's our union that defends our rights. But our union's as strong as our will is to fight.
This is Radio Labour. The first legally binding agreement to prohibit nuclear arms and work towards their elimination will come into force now that 50 nations have ratified it. The Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons will be implemented in January 2021. But many more countries need to ratify the treaty. Countries such as the US, Britain, France, China, and Russia are still refusing to sign the agreement. That is why the International Trade Union Confederation has intensified its campaign to get more treaty ratifications. The ITUC is the global body which represents national union centers such as the Ghana Trades Union Congress and the AFL-CIO in the United States. Ayuba Waba is the president of the ITUC. He is also the president of the Nigeria Labor Congress.
It is a honor to join the rest of the global working class in making this appeal in support of the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. First is to say that the production, storage, and usage of nuclear weapons is a chilling demonstration of the auto-destruction that humanity is capable of. It is a negative return on our civilization and question the progress that humanity has made over the years. On behalf of the International Trade Union Confederation, representing unions in 163 countries, I present the resolve of workers all over the world to reject the proliferation of nuclear weapons. Workers also reject the proliferation of armed conflicts all over the world. Workers have suffered enough already from bombs and bullets or political conflicts created by others. This is totally unacceptable as it greatly contradicts democratic values of peaceful negotiation. These values are the cornerstone of multilateral engagements. There are at least 2,000 tons of nuclear materials for weapons stored in some 40 countries, enough to make 40,000 bombs the size of the one that devastated Hiroshima. The analysis of the risk of nuclear winter is simple. The risk is there because the weapons exist. The question is not if they will fall into the wrong hands. The question is when. We all seem to agree that nuclear arms are inhumane, an illegitimate source of power. But after decades of solemn political declarations, some governments still fail to deliver. The corporate world pushes its social responsibility aside when profits are to be made with weapons of mass destruction. Corporate interest fuels the arms race and pushes politicians to service greed and private interests rather than the people's safety. Apart from hunting people, investing in nuclear arms goes at the expense of social infrastructure, such as jobs, schools, housing, and healthcare. At the end of its 2018 Congress in Copenhagen, the International Trade Union Confederation decided to renew its commitment to fight for the prohibition of nuclear weapons and the disarmament of existing arsenals. The message from the global trade union movement is loud and clear. We need to ban nuclear arms now. We need to end this arbitration of humanity before it ends us. In 2017, after years of work to raise awareness of their humanitarian impact, 122 countries negotiated and adopted a treaty to ban nuclear weapons. I'm happy to report that Nigeria, my country, was one of the first countries that have signed and adopted this important treaty. Equally, South Africa has also been in the forefront of the struggle to rid the world of nuclear weapons. Countries who fail to do the needful now and ratify this crucial treaty will find themselves at the wrong lane of history. Now is the time to bring democracy to disarmament. We urge states to ratify it the Nuclear Ban Treaty as a fulfillment of axis of the Non-Proliferation Treaty and to develop a strong regime for the verifiable and irreversible disarmament of nuclear weapons. We cannot build peace if we do not lower our arms.
Along with the healthcare system, perhaps the sector most adversely affected by the pandemic has been education, with students missing classes and many forced to study online without adequate resources or preparation. To highlight the challenges being faced in the sector, Education International has been conducting a series of webinars about education in various regions. EI is the global union for teachers and other education workers. It represents 33 million union members in 178 countries and territories. Dennis Signolo is EI's chief regional coordinator for Africa.
African education systems have not been immune to the impact of the pandemic. COVID-19 has ravaged health systems and impacted schools, tertiary education institutions, economies, and societies everywhere. We'll be launching a report on the impact of COVID-19 on education in Africa, conducted for us by Professor Steve Nokiwocha. Without going into the details, the study's findings confirm what we've been saying all along, that technology cannot replace teachers. I repeat, technology cannot replace teachers, nor can distance education replace face-to-face in-school learning. While governments have taken measures to keep learning going during closures, none of these have been effective. Yes, distance education, online platforms, radio and television programs have been tried, but very few children, mostly from rich urban families, have been able to benefit from distance and virtual learning. The digital divide has resulted in greater exclusion, leaving girls and boys, children with disabilities, migrants and refugees, and rural children further behind. The same study reveals that there is lack of genuine consultation and dialogue between governments and unions concerning education during COVID-19. Furthermore, some governments are taking advantage of the current COVID-19 context to trample on democracy, human and trade union rights, including academic freedom and professional autonomy. Unions are bulwarks of democracy, defenders and promoters of human rights and social justice. We should continue to say no to violations of fundamental freedoms, our rights and those of our students. Education is a fundamental human right and a public good, and governments have an obligation to guarantee this right. We need to put pressure on governments to uphold education and labor rights. Research evidence shows that there is a real risk that many girls will be unable to return to school due to early marriages, pregnancy, child labor, or other factors. Despite the challenges posed by COVID-19, educators and their unions have taken the lead in the fight against the pandemic and its effects on education. They've been responsive, resilient, and proactive, taking initiatives and measures to keep teaching and learning going. Educators and their unions have been raising awareness, developing and sharing tools, and coming up with innovative solutions to keep their students learning. As educators, we need to reimagine the future. Can you imagine a future where teachers are empowered and supported to reimagine or reshape the future of education? A future where they are genuinely consulted and their views taken into account when governments formulate education and teacher policies? Can you imagine a future where teachers are valued, trusted, and respected as professionals and paid a decent salary? A future where every child is taught by a trained, qualified, motivated, and supported teacher and learns in a safe, healthy, and well-resourced environment? Every African child deserves to be taught by a qualified teacher, deserves a good learning environment. We know that such a future is possible, but it will not come unless we fight for it. We can only succeed if we build united and stronger education unions that are a force to reckon with, and the voice of the women and men in our classrooms at all education levels.
Here with his report about union events is Labour Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Each day, Labor Starts volunteers collect hundreds of news items about the struggle of workers and their unions from around the world in 36 languages. Here's a small sample of all their hard work. Our top stories section included links to coverage of the general strike in Belarus, the ITUC's Global Day for Care, and another attack by the state on the Jordanian Teachers Union. This week, the emerging trends in our news coverage include the impact of COVID-19 on education workers and food processing workers around the globe. From Malaysia to Brazil, in Iceland, Kenya, and in Australia, education workers are reporting that the reopening of schools is generating huge problems, especially in those countries, which is to say the vast majority, where education systems are not being properly funded for the challenges posed by C-19. Typically, teachers are being required to not only perform their usual duties, but also to deal with the impact on students of what in many cases was social isolation lasting almost 8 months. All whilst ensuring student safety in the classroom. School cleaning staff face similar challenges as they feel responsible for school cleanliness as it can seriously affect not just the health of students, but of whole communities. At the same time, a second wave of infections in meat processing plants in the global north has exploded in the past 2 weeks. In North America and Europe, workers in these facilities are typically migrant workers, badly paid and engaged in a daily struggle with their employers over traditional health and safety issues. On our Working Women pages, you'll find stories about how the huge number of unemployed domestic workers are coping in countries as diverse as Qatar, Germany, Argentina, and South Africa, the role of trade unions in the protests against the law outlawing reproductive freedom in Poland, and how Arab women workers in Israel are organizing to face the effects of the pandemic on their employment. The free health and safety newswire we offer in cooperation with Hazards magazine carried stories about the lack of COVID-19 testing for exposed workers in Ireland, where even the workers inspecting workplaces to ensure proper health precautions are not being properly tested, and how in Eswatini, the nurses' union has filled the public policy void left by the monarchy and is providing health direction to the entire country. Current campaigns that we are running at the request of unions around the world include an urgent appeal for online solidarity with imprisoned trade union leaders in Belarus, where the struggle to end the dictatorship escalated to a general strike this past Monday. Look for details of this and other campaigns on our site. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is Robin Roberts with It's Our Union.
Our union story is here to be seen. We've won many victories and suffered defeats. But as I turn through the pages and look back through time, there's one single question stands out in my mind. Today we may prosper, today we live free, but if it weren't for the union, where would we be? It's our union that defends our rights, but our union's as strong as our will is to fight. For the union is you, and the union is me, so stand up and stand by our union. From its humble beginnings, our union has grown, so no working person needs struggle alone. But no gain that's been made has been made without cost, and together we'll see that no gain's ever lost. Take a look at those countries where workers aren't free. If it weren't for the unions, where would we be? It's our union that defends our rights, but our union's as strong as our will is to fight. For the union is you, and the union is me, so stand up and stand by our union.
And that's it, international labor news you can use. I'm Mark Belanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.